We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the home heating oil delivery and HVAC pros at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Grill Made Seasoning.
Arrow for two. This building's in shock, Scott.
I'm in shock.
I don't understand what we're doing today. I really don't. I don't understand all the pick and rolls and all the slow isolations. I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
I don't think anybody gets it, Scal. Very confusing last night. The Celtics really get handled by the Miami Heat. They fall 111-101, 23 three-pointers for Miami last night, franchise record. Without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier, after the Celtics mostly took it to them in game one, at least before Eric Spoelstra put out the code red at the end of game one. How big of an impact did that have? How concerned are you about the Celtics losing home court advantage? Miami now has it in this first round matchup with the 8-seeded Miami Heat. You can jump in 617-779-7937. It's the final hour of Jones and Mego with Arcan here on WEEI. We'll still take your thoughts on the NFL draft tonight. What are the Patriots doing at 3? Should they move back? Why are they entertaining offers? Isn't Drake May obviously the guy? 617-779-7937. Again, full draft coverage tonight with Rich Keefe, Andy Hart, Fitzy, and Scheim. It's 2 hours, 56 minutes, and 56 seconds, 55, 54, 53 away from the Patriots. Well, from the draft starting. Actually, the Patriots will be on the clock later than that. So we'll continue to mix in your thoughts there. On the Celtics quickly, because we have a short show today. Red Sox lost earlier today 6-4 in Cleveland. Just an opportunity to react here quickly. How concerned should we be after that game?
I think you should actually be concerned about who this team is at this point, because this team was not tested a whole lot during the regular season. And look, I still think that they should go back to the finals. I'm not threatened by Miami, but I am still feeling a little bit worried about who this team is when they're not front runners. And when they have to scrap and fight a little bit, and when they have to adjust mid-game. To me, that's the biggest thing. Look, what Miami was doing out there on the perimeter, they started it in the first quarter. Eric Spoelstra came in with an excellent game plan where he's setting up these screens for Tyler Hero, and then when that doesn't work, and the Celtics are all getting all pissed off because they think Bam Adebayo's setting moving screens, whatever, the rest not calling it, they're getting pissed off. And then guess what? When they actually go and try to overcorrect to Hero, they just swing it over to Caleb Martin or anybody else who's open because the team has shooters. Like, it's not like this is a historically incredible three-point shooting Miami Heat team. You just didn't adjust at any point in the game.
So you blame Mazzulla?
I do blame Mazzulla partly, but I don't want to excuse what was going on with Porzingis.
Yeah.
The no-show by Drew Holiday. Like, for the most part, Jaylen was fine. Tatum was mostly fine.
Oh, I
but
disagree.
Overall, like, the total lack of adjustment, reaction time, everything on defense was embarrassing because it's your home floor. You were 14, 15 point, like, favorites. It's so disappointing.
It's pathetic. It was pathetic. And I don't blame Mazzulla. I'll blame Mazzulla. That was an effort thing. They gave zero effort. They thought they could roll the basketballs out there and beat Miami. They don't have Jimmy Butler. We were up 30-whatever in game one. We can just show up and beat Miami. And they thought this before. I got plenty of phone calls. I remember specifically. We were at the BetMGM sportsbook on the first day of the NCAA tournament. They had just blown a giant lead against Milwaukee without Giannis. They won the game. Oh, who cares? It won't matter in the postseason. This won't come back to bite them. They blew other leads against teams missing players. They did it against Cleveland without, was it Mitchell? And they lost Mobley in game. They've done it other times. And people said, oh, it won't matter. It's not a concern come the postseason. No, no, no. This is that exact scenario. Miami doesn't have their best player. Throw Rozier on top of it as well. And the Celtics thought they could just show up and beat them. And they can't. They got into bad habits late in the year. Now, look, they should beat Miami. But long term, will it catch up to them somewhere? It might. And last night was pathetic. I don't want to say none. Mazzulla can adjust, and he got outcoached by Spoelstra. Fine, he's going to get outcoached by Spoelstra. He's not as good of a coach. That was about effort. They had no effort last night.
Yeah, and it really goes back to something that's been bothering me all season with this team. Whenever they lost a game, you get that stupid wake-up call bullcrap that they all love to talk about. That Porzingis,
it's so true.
Porzingis is the worst, and he had a terrible game. He was scary bad last night.
Soft.
Like, Porzingis, I'm scared of how bad he looked.
Soft.
That's terrifying. If that's what he's going to give you, like, that's really, really terrifying.
Yeah, you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the floor went this low.
He was garbage, and Holiday sucked too, but that's why I hate on all that wake-up call crap. Oh, man, we got punched in the mouth. Oh, it was good for us to lose this game. Oh, I'm so glad we lost this game. That really made us focus. All right, great. And now you're just going to be doing it in the playoffs, too. These games that you love losing. And, oh, what a great wake-up call. Well, there's your wake-up call. Now you don't have home court advantage anymore, and you can barely crack 100 points against a team that doesn't have their best player. Like, that's infuriating. And I don't think that Tatum had a great game either, but he had 28 points. Jaylen Brown had 33 points, and you lost by double freaking digits.
Good like, loss that, for us.
That's pathetic. You're right, Jones. That is a pathetic showing for that team.
But here's the thing. Like, they chose the option of letting Tatum and Brown do what, quite frankly, comes most naturally to them, which is slow-ass iso ball. Like, they settled for the 2 points when they were raining historical amount of threes on the other side. Tatum and Brown.
Those two guys.
Yeah, I'm saying exactly.
Yeah, I blame
and
them.
So
I don't blame Mazzulla.
At some point, it's like, okay, I know that you take the stance of Tatum and Brown run the entire show, and so whatever they're going to do
is whatever they're going to do.
Well, no, that's where the coach needs to step in and say, we need to move the ball around the perimeter, do back to them what they're doing to us on the other side and actually swing it instead of trying to take. Joe Mazzulla stands on the side and he goes, Jason Tatum's so awesome. Look at the matchup Jason Tatum has against this Heat player who I think is pretty crappy compared
to Jason Tatum. You know what happens?
And it didn't work, Jones.
Okay, but you know what happens if he says, Jason, let's move the ball? They start tuning him out and they get him fired.
Jaylen Brown's doing that already. Listen to him post-game.
So I was going to say this. So I hated this answer from Jaylen. Let's hear this after the game. He blames the coach, too.
What is it about this team being able to hit so many three-pointers against you guys?
I think they're well coached. I mean, I think that's credit to the coaching staff and organization. They put together a good game plan for them, and they feel confident, and they come out and execute it. I think that's what, you know, they do, you know. And tonight was an example of that, you know. I just thought they made, you know, a lot of shots that we normally will feel comfortable with, but it's the playoffs. It is what it is. You got to adjust, and we got to play ball. So we got to respond.
Okay. Like, I don't care what Spoelstra comes up with for a game plan. There should be no game plan with the Heat's lack of talent without Jimmy Butler that matches up with the Celtics. It's about the players. Last night had nothing, in my estimation, nothing to do with coaching.
Oh,
Jaylen can throw the coach under the bus all he wants because he doesn't want to take responsibility. It's on the players.
I agree that a huge part of it is on the players.
All of it.
But to stand there and look at the way that they didn't adjust in the second quarter, they didn't adjust in the third quarter, they didn't adjust in the fourth quarter. Like, I look at that, nothing changed. They let them go out and play the worst version of Celtics offense. Like, it looked like the worst
because
version
they had no
of those Udoka offenses
when
the
scheme.
Team was all focused on defense.
I don't think that was scheme. I think it was effort.
They took what the Heat gave them, which was driving in and playing slow-ass iso ball.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't work. I get, like, Porzingis Drew Holiday both really looked out of sorts. I think that was part of what the stupid heat zone was doing too, taking them out of rhythm. But it's like, okay, so then don't have a coach on the sidelines if you're just going to let that happen.
Yeah, the Heat shot 23 wide open threes.
Yeah.
23. Keith Smith did the breakdown. 15 of 23 wide open, 6 of 14 with a 4 to 6 foot window, and 1 for 5 from a tight window. Very tight. They were 1 for 1. Yeah. 23 of 43 all around. That's 50.
That scheme?
23 wide open.
I know
open
the
threes.
Numbers. That scheme or that's effort?
That's effort.
That's effort.
100%.
That's also effort. Reaction, though. Like, a lot of those are coming off of these dumb screens where then somebody slides over and they overcorrect and someone swings it to the corner. And Caleb Martin is there acting like Caleb Martin from the Eastern Conference Finals.
Caleb Durant.
Don't shake your head. You know that that's what happened.
Okay, but I'm not going to blame the coach for that.
You can blame everyone, Jones.
I'm not blaming the coach for that.
Why don't you want to blame Mazzulla for that?
It's not that I don't want to blame him. It's that he's an easy punching bag. And that's what Jaylen Brown is doing, and I don't like it. Because you guys are the ones who went out and loafed around and thought you could just show up and beat the Heat. And you can't. I don't think that's about scheme.
I don't think it's fair to excuse the lack of adjustments in the game either.
They didn't adjust. But guess what? No scheme should lose to that Miami team. With that lack of talent, no scheme should lose to that team. That's about effort and playing down to the level of competition. That's how they blow giant leads against Milwaukee and almost lose without Giannis. That's how they lose to the Cavs when they didn't have Donovan Mitchell and lost Evan Mobley in game. I know there's another game I'm forgetting where they lost to a team without their superstar.
They lost to the Lakers in Boston without Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Atlanta,
they got killed in that game.
Like they've lost to all these teams.
That scheme?
They have this in them, of course.
That's about the players to me.
Tatum's not good.
Carl is in Chicago.
Stop it.
Yeah, I thought I was helping.
Mego, you're leading the charge on that. Carl, go ahead on the draft.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to strongly advise you guys to stay away from North Carolina players. They're not really trustworthy right off the bat. Javonte Williams has stunk. Michael Carter's not even in the league anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. Trubisky was bad. How about Julius Peppers? He's pretty good.
Julius Peppers was okay, but he's different because his last name is named after a food.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
I've heard the Mitch Trubisky one before. I hadn't heard it about all North Carolina players.
Look at that. He's silenced.
That's a new one.
Face.
Look, if you want to say you're afraid of taking a quarterback because Trubisky didn't work out from the same school, that's fine. But, you know, there's a long list of quarterbacks. You wouldn't have taken C.J. Stroud last year because Ohio State quarterbacks generally suck in the NFL.
When Carl first called in, I thought he was using one of those voice disguisers. I was like... Oh, my God, it's someone from Washington.
If you never wanted to take an Oregon quarterback, I wouldn't have blamed you. You would have missed out on Justin Herbert. So I think that's bad logic, but if that's your logic, go ahead. Harrison's in Seacon. Hello, Harrison.
Hi, Harrison.
Hey, how's it going? So you all played yesterday that J.J. McCarthy, when he was talking about the Patriots and if he were drafted there.
Yep.
Oh, my God, did I hate that so much. I do not want to see him here in the Patriots uniform because – how do you go from being, you know, not carrying a team, and yet now you're going to come to the Patriots where you're going to have to carry the team with not much around you? I do not want to see him drafted, especially if he has to sit here at 3.
Yeah, trust me, I don't want him based on his play. I didn't like him sucking up to Robert Kraft. What do you think of the theory? And you can brush it aside if you want, but Jeremy Fowler, who we've had on the show, and Pete Schrager both pushed it forward yesterday. We played the Schrager audio on the show. Fowler wrote it on ESPN. The idea that Brady could reach out to Kraft and say, take J.J. McCarthy.
I hate that because I think then Kraft would turn
to
Wolf or whoever and be like, we got to do it.
Go make the pick.
Brady's the only one who's always come through.
So you don't completely dismiss that. You think there's potential that's in play.
I mean, do I dismiss that it's happening? I don't think that. Why would Brady do that? Like, what
I don't know. Why
that?
Would Pete Schrager and Jeremy Fowler both report it?
I don't know. Maybe it's coming from J.J.'s camp.
I mean, I don't know.
J.J. took a selfie with Tom Brady at a party and
they
didn't post it.
Those are plugged in reporters.
I know.
So I don't know why that's coming. That's not me. I did hot take that in real time. Arcan knows this.
Yeah.
That was like hot take throwaway take by me. But then it turns out, plugged in reporters
like,
pushed that forward yesterday.
Can I simultaneously say that I don't brush it aside, but I don't think it's going to happen? Like, I don't think it's going to determine the pick, but I don't say it's not going to determine the pick.
Well, earlier you said J.J. McCarthy 0% would go 3.
Yeah, I think they would trade down and take J.J. McCarthy. Is what I'm saying. Why are you looking at me like that? J.J. McCarthy is not going at 3.
I think they will
trade back if they think that they can get J.J. if they are going to settle for J.J. McCarthy.
They're going to big brain it.
They are.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Bunch of you waiting patiently on the Celtics. Plenty of draft talk as well with the draft creeping up. Less than 3 hours away. Keith and Hart and Fitzy and Scheim have full coverage here tonight. Arcan with all the latest in trending. And then... let's get to the Bruins. We haven't talked about them yet. They win last night, What's the plan in net? And in Toronto, they are so pissed at Marchand. It's awesome. We'll get to it right after trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Guardians today, 6-4 your final. Jose Ramirez, a grand slam for Cleveland, who takes the series 2-1. Sox are back home tomorrow as they host a 3-game set with the Chicago Cubs. 3 games in the NBA playoffs tonight. Cavs looking to go up 3-0 on the Magic in Orlando. They'll tip off at 7. 76ers trying to get on the board against the Knicks as that series shifts to Philly. They'll tip off at 7:30. And the Nuggets and Lakers play Game 3 from L.A. Nuggets lead the series 2-0. In the NHL, it's the Lightning hosting the Panthers, who lead the series 2-0. 7 p.m. start time. Then at 7:30, it's the Islanders and Hurricanes. Carolina up 2-0 in that one. And the NFL draft begins tonight at 8 o'clock, but the party here at WEEI begins at 6 with Rich Keefe, Andy Hart, Chris Scheim, and Fitzy. The Rich Keefe all-night draft party going all the way until midnight. As of now, the Patriots slated to pick at number 3. I'm Christian Arcand, and that's what's trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The critics have spoken.
It's as if you took a float from a Macy's Day Parade and you beheaded them, and it's two clowns.
Jones and Mego.
One looks extremely upset and the other one looks intrigued.
On WEEI.
Goes down. Heinen to Marjan. He scores 28 seconds. How's that for an answer?
How's that for your captain with the answer?
Where's Brad Marchand? Where?
Is that Ryan?
It's a little bit of Ryan.
Yeah, it was right until it happened.
I mean, look, there is a general sense of that out there.
We'll just omit the fact that he absolutely tripped Tyler Bertuzzi to free up. Oh. I think it was Heinen.
Why? I like that.
What are you, the Maple Leafs coach over there? We'll get to that coming up.
But where's Marchand?
I stand with Keith. Rich, Sheldon.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
All the Keefs.
I stand for Keith.
Adam Keefe. Remember Adam Keefe, Arkans?
No, but I would stick with that guy, too.
Ooh, what about Keefe from Righteous Gemstones?
That's
a good Keefe. That's a good
Keefe. For Sutherland.
Yeah, that counts.
24. I mean, come on. It's right on.
Adam Keefe played for the Jazz, right?
I want to say the Jazz and the Hawks. Can someone fact check me on this? I feel like I had some Adam Keefe basketball cards growing up.
Adam Keefe.
Jazz
played for the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Warriors.
Okay, Warriors I didn't know, but thank you very much.
And he played in Spain. Anything else you want to know about Adam?
That's really more than I
start this
more than I bargained for.
This is Hockey Talk.
Brad Marchand, his 2 goals move him into a first place tie with Cam Neely on the Bruins' all-time playoff goals leaderboard with 55. That's pretty good. He moved past Neely for the most game-winning playoff goals in team history with 12. Marchand also moved past his old line mate Patrice Bergeron for the second most playoff assists
in Bruins history.
I know. He's super
the coolest.
The Bruins so miss Bergeron, and he so misses Patrice Bergeron. People are so right about
that. May I interject here for a second?
Hang on. Even at age 35, Marchand remains fully capable of putting the Bruins on his back and carrying them to playoff victories. I'm reading from Nick Goss. He's tallied 26 points in his last 15 postseason games. A lot of those without Bergeron. Marchand made his playoff debut in 2011. Only one player since then, Nikita Kucherov, that's a heart winner, has posted more playoff points than Marchand, 134, during that span. Yes, Mego.
Okay, so yesterday after the game, well, it was really, yeah, it was after the game, because Mr. Hu and I were in separate rooms. He was watching Bruins, I was watching Celtics.
Yeah,
and
you
then,
were in the bathroom. Yeah.
And then we put the Bruins on the big TV, and he came in, and then immediately after he looks at his phone, and he says, Jones is doing dumb S on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? And he said, he's trying to make this a Bergeron a Bergeron take about Marchand. And I was like, it hurts my feelings that you clearly never listen to our show. you're trying to dunk on Jones and you're exposing yourself as never listening to the program.
Look, all I know, Ryan pointed this out the other day, and it's fair. Marchand had not shown up the first two games. Fair. Completely invisible. But last night, 3-point game and monstrous. And look, one's an empty netter, but the other's the game winner.
Yeah, it took him a little while to get to that empty
I'll net, even too. Credit the that was not the easiest empty
look,
netter to get. We'll
whatever.
For that.
All I know.
BQA2, empty net or Linus Ullmark?
It was fair to howl about Marchand the other day. It was fair. But now he showed up. So what do you say now? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We have all your draft thoughts with the draft about 2 hours and 30 minutes away. We also have Celtics calls hanging on the line. Meanwhile, I know what they're saying in Toronto. I know. Because he got inside Tyler Bertuzzi's head, just like the Heat got inside the Celtics' head, rattled their cages. It's why I don't think it's about scheme. I think it's about effort and all these other intangibles with the Celtics, not their scheme. Same thing with the Bruins and the Maple Leafs last night. Bertuzzi lost his mind on the ice, maybe fairly so. The refs probably missed something. Marchand's being Marchand, which is why I love him. And you hear the coach after the game crying. Let me hear Sheldon Keefe.
Impact of Brad Marchand tonight. Whether it's on the score sheet or off the score sheet as well, just getting under guys' skin. What do you do to contain him going forward?
Well, you got to play through it. You got to recognize, you know, he's a world-class player, both in ability and how he plays. I mean, the gamesmanship and everything, it's world-class. And he's been in the league long enough, as you can see. He gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually, how it goes, you know. We got to play through that. We got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. Because, it's an art, and he's elite at it. So we have to manage our way through that, avoid putting ourselves in situations
like Rembrandt
where he can put us in those spots. And then as far as this game, I think we've managed that pretty well for the most part. Obviously tonight we make him a stake at a key time that allows him to get the winner.
Okay. So we all know what he's doing, right? He's trying to trying to lobby the refs for the next game, except the Twitch chat is right. They had more power play. They had 5 power plays last night. They were 0 for 5. So, like, you did get the calls last
Should
night.
Have been 0 for 6.
They missed a call on Marsh. I agree. They missed a call on Marsh and fine. They missed one. That happens. I'd say the same thing when Bruins fans cry about, oh, Toronto had so many power. Like, what Jack and Brick were doing last night was embarrassing on the broadcast. Oh, there's so many calls. Oh, when's it ever going to level out? Jack was like, it's 9-on-4 at one point. Is what he said. So, like, I'd say the same thing.
Wait, so you were annoyed that he was a little hyperbolic?
No, I would say the same thing to Sheldon Keefe that I would say to Jack Edwards or any Bruins fan. It's like, all right, the refs missed some calls. That happens. They'll all level out if you just chill out. You got the calls last night, and you're crying about one extra missed call. It'll all level out. So guess what? You probably got too many calls. They missed one on Marchand. It's all even at the end of the day. He's clearly lobbying the officials for the next game. But Marchand's already done it. He's already in their heads, which is beautiful.
I agree. I get what he's trying to do and the game that he's trying to play, and coaches do it all the time. But it really just makes him look weak. It makes him look like a word that I can't say on the radio. And he's, like, sitting up there crying about Marchand.
Try it.
Meow, meow. That's what it sounds like to me. It's like, grow up. Oh, Brad Marchand, Marchand Angelo. Like, it's an art. Like, he's an artist of being a creep on the ice.
Marchand
like,
Angelo.
It's so dumb. Get over it. You sound like a baby. You sound like a meow meow.
Not to mention the fact that Marchand didn't draw any penalties. Like, it's not like he's out there getting all these calls. They didn't call a penalty
on
him.
True.
He's like, oh, he gets all these calls. He didn't get one call. No, I mean, nothing happened. He didn't draw a penalty.
I do know what he meant. It was the absence of a call there, but I get it. Him saying he's getting calls technically is not accurate.
He didn't actually get any calls. They didn't call something on him, but that's different from saying he's getting all the calls. He's getting the superstar treatment.
This is a good point, too. Like, Bertuzzi is on your team, okay? Like, let's not pretend like everybody is playing a finesse game
he's
out there.
He's a saint.
By the way, I thought Bertuzzi, and I just read the comment, we don't have it pulled or anything, but I thought Bertuzzi mostly answered it straight up. He's like, he's a great player. You know, it's physical out there, and, you know, we'll get him next game.
Bertuzzi
like
got one of their penalties at the end of the second. So, I mean, you know, that's the game. It was a little uneven, I thought, against the Bruins, but even still, not enough that you'd make some big deal about it. And for him to be crying about it was ridiculous.
Real quick, can I hear Swayman on his performance last night? Swayman was great again. I would say one real goal against. If we get to do this with Ullmark, I'm going to do this with Swayman too. All the Ullmark people do this. Lindholm kicked in the other one. It's good to see Lindholm finally score in the postseason. He kicks him one off his back skate. It's not his fault, right? He's engaged with, I think it was Bertuzzi, on that goal. And so he kicks one into the net. He finally scores. But Swayman was great again last night. Five power plays. Toronto couldn't score. Here's his answer quick exchange after the game.
Anytime I get a chance to play, I'm going to do whatever I can to help this team win, whether it's back-to-back or every other game. I'm just really grateful every time I do get a chance, and that's all I worry about.
How good do you feel with your game right now?
I'm excited. I think it's something that all the experience from this year and past years have accumulated, but I still got a lot more to learn, that's for sure, and I'm looking forward to that.
Is the extra rest beneficial, like the fact you had
games? I think, you know, for me personally, I don't want rest. I just want to keep playing. I think no matter when I get the call, whether, again, it's back-to-back or every other game, I want to make sure my body's ready and I'm ready to perform at my best.
Do you feel like you've done enough to earn a second straight start?
Never. I'm never going to expect anything. I'm going to earn it, so that's all I care about.
Can I tell you, that's such a better answer? Ryan, you said this earlier today.
Yes.
What did you say about listening to Swayman compared to Ullmark? It's the first time you, like, heard a goalie and you're like, that's how I want him to sound, something like that?
When you contrast it directly with Linus Ullmark and his post-game in Game 2, going, no, you know, I don't want to really expect anything.
Well, we all deserve the same amount of games.
This was goaltender capitalism as opposed to the goaltender communism that Linus Ullmark has been preaching all along.
Bingo.
And even though I think you should have stuck with your rotation because it's how you got here, that's what I want my goaltender to talk like. I don't want to rest. I just want to make sure I'm good. Get me in there and let me keep playing because I think we're going to win is basically what he's saying.
Okay. What are they doing in Game 4, Mego?
I think they're going to go back to the rotation.
Ugh.
I want to be on the record. I jumped the ship. I don't think they should. I think you have to stick with Swayman.
You didn't
after
want him in Game 2, right?
He had last night.
You said you didn't want him in Game 2,
Ullmark.
Right?
I wanted Ullmark to start. Like, at this point, I just, after seeing the two, I don't know. Like, I try to look at it as, okay, what are you doing long term? Can Swayman play long term? Can he last past this series? If you go another series, after that, he's never been given the opportunity, so you don't really know what he has. But you're living day to day at this point in this series, and I think you just go with Swayman. It's so clear to me in this particular matchup against Toronto.
Arkin.
I would rather the Patriots draft a long snapper third overall tonight than see Linus Ullmark again in this series. I'm not kidding. Unless, you know, Swayman gets hurt or something. I don't want to see anybody but Jeremy Swayman again for the rest of the series. The Leafs are terrified of Swayman. They're scared of him. They're not scared of Linus Ullmark.
We said Marchand's in their head, so is Swayman.
Yes.
They're both 100%. In their
heads. Yeah. And it wasn't even his best game yesterday, and it was still better than any game Ullmark's had against him this year, goals-wise. You know, he let in two. That's the most he's ever let in against them, and they still won the game. 5-0, and he's completely got them rattled. And if you go away from that, I think you're just stupid.
Okay. Look, I think, what do you think they're doing, though?
I think they have to go with Swayman.
Okay, me too.
I think they have to, but I don't know. I mean,
we'd all start
they
Swayman.
They love this stupid rotation.
We'd all start Swayman. I think they're starting Swayman. I think the extra day gives them the out. The extra day gives them the out to do
Good
it.
Good point. Yeah.
I would do it either way, but there's no game tomorrow. They don't play again until Saturday. I would do it either way.
Which is stupid, by the way. I hate these doubling up.
What do you mean? Oh, just having the back-to-back days off.
The Celtics and the Bruins on the same night.
Yeah. And,
it's driving me nuts.
And Messi against the Revs. It's going to be a big night. 617. I'm sure the Fun Sox play, too. 617-779.
They already played.
They're so fun these days.
793. 14 and 12. Don't make me do the math. When it comes to what we want them to do tonight, Arkan said he'd rather have a long snapper than sitting down Jeremy Swayman. We have full Patriots coverage tonight of what they're going to do. Keith, Fitzy, Hart, Scheim. They'll be breaking down the pick and reacting to it. I think we have extended coverage after Keefe as well. I think John Lyons is on tonight, if I'm not mistaken. So plenty of ways to get in, react to the pick. I do think with the latest buzz on the Patriots, I'm still flummoxed at why it's out there. And I've come up with two theories as to why the reporting in the last couple of days, really this week, has shifted to they love Drake May. Right? Russini and Chad Graff wrote yesterday, you missed it, Mego, but they wrote this yesterday that the Patriots really love Drake May, and it's crystallized, and he would fit with Van Pelt's offense, and Mayo likes his toughness, and Elliott Wolf, he checks all these boxes, and ownership would sign off, and blah, blah, blah. I think why that's changed in the last week, I would think, is because they're going to take Drake May. But at the same time, that door is open. Why? And I think it's either just to hold Washington to whatever they're doing it to. It sounds like Jaden Daniels. We'll find out tonight. The only other theory I can come up with is it's Elliott Wolf's little protest. Elliott Wolf's little protest that this isn't his guy. And it's his way of letting you know ownership is making the pick. And I do think ownership's making the pick. We'll play Tommy Curran coming up from NBC Sports Boston. I know he disagrees. Maybe that's his little way of, you know, making you know or letting people know that he doesn't like the pick. He's not signing off on it. Otherwise, I don't get why they keep saying, it's Drake May. We love Drake May. They're clearly putting it out to all the local beat writers. Drake May is the guy. They're obviously doing that. But they're also leaving the door open. Why? I don't get why.
So to the first thing that you said about Elliott Wolf trying to, like, take his handprints off of this pick and say that it's ownership, I feel like you're on the right track, but it's not necessarily about ownership. It's that maybe he is stuck in this collaborative approach because he doesn't have the GM title or contract, and he knows what ownership wants, but he's also standing in a room full of people who maybe, like, everybody except for one other person likes Drake May, and they like Drake May, and he feels like he's outnumbered, as he told us. He's not a crazy person, so if the majority is going that way, and by the way, he's director of scouting, he's not general manager, then he's going to turn and say, okay, fine, Drake May, but I'm leaving the door open, and I'm going to give myself an out, and I'm going to leak things out saying that I always wanted to trade back. I always wanted to wait out the clock until we get four first-round picks or some crazy offer, and then I can be the smart guy, and I don't have to take responsibility for this. And if you want the job of GM, I just don't like that way of doing business. I want him to wear it. I want him to have responsibility for it. And at the end of the day, if it's not his pick, then what are we doing here? Then Jonathan Kraft should pick up the phone and do it. Yeah. If it's really what's happening.
I think he's going to. And so,
you think he's going to pick up the phone and call the guy?
I think he's, yeah. Well, he should be the first one to talk to Drake May.
He's like, hold on, Robin. You get over here too.
Drake May, we're taking you. Here's Robin Glazer.
She smashes the phone with a hammer.
So when it comes to the Patriots, when I say, like, if they just want to leave the door open to take phone calls, that's fine. But they're not just leaving the door open to other teams. They are putting it out there through the media. It's on their front lawn. They're announcing this is what they're doing. And I just wonder why there's that contrast.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's that they don't love Drake May. Maybe it's their way of saying we're not totally sold on this guy. Maybe Elliott Wolf is letting you know it's not his pick. Maybe it's a message to Washington. There's a reason, and I don't think the reason is they're trading the pick.
No.
I don't believe that's the reason, because I don't think ownership will let them.
I don't think so either, but I also wonder, I mean, we've heard that they've gotten offers that they don't like, right? We've heard that they've gotten offers that they thought were laughable or nothing close or whatever, and we talked about this a little yesterday, Jones, but I wonder what the line is. You know, what's the line between an offer being laughable and an offer being worth taking? Because there's got to be somewhere.
So you
and
think
I just,
it's San Francisco?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know what the offers is that they've been given.
What
so
Reese
it's hard
wrote,
to say.
What Reese wrote is they'd want an impact player,
right?
Like Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw. And so I tend to think that's what it is.
Jefferson or Christian Darrisaw.
Curran, yeah.
I'll take Jefferson.
Yeah, me too. Curran said it would take more than the San Francisco trade. Reese said it would include an impact player, something like that. And I don't think they're getting that. And I personally wouldn't do that. Maybe they would. I wouldn't do that anyway. It's part of why I don't think the Giants make a lot of sense. Like, at least a team like Minnesota makes sense. They have multiple picks and someone like Justin Jefferson. I don't really understand the Giants, because all you're getting is a bunch of picks. And I don't need a bunch of picks. I already have the number three pick. I'm taking my guy now.
A bunch of picks and Darius Slayton.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Seriously. You could jump in on the Celtics. Yeah, is he holding out? I forgot about that. You could jump in on the Celtics, Bruins, and the draft conversation tonight. I misspoke, by the way. I thought John Lyons was on after Keefe at 10. Keith is going, and I've seen these tweets. Stupid me. 6 to midnight.
6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight.
Ow. So that was so stupid of me. How did I not come up with that? So my mistake. It's 6 to midnight with Keith tonight. Mark is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mark.
Jones, you're killing me, man.
How's that?
The problem is Joe Mazzulla is the problem. If you had Ime Udoka, this team would be playing lights out because he's a defensive-minded coach. They're not closing out on the three-point line at all. You know, you could just see it. They're not contesting. And Porzingis looks like he's just weak out there. I don't know what the problem
is. Okay, so you think it's scheme. You don't think it's effort.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely effort. Okay. Definitely, absolutely effort.
And, like, if you want to blame Mazzulla for that compared to Udoka, that he would get more out of them effort-wise, fine. Maybe there's a conversation to be had. It's not their scheme. And so when it comes to the Celtics, they lost plenty of bad games with Udoka, too, is the only thing I would push back on there. It's like they had plenty of games where they lacked effort or they got punked.
Yeah, what'd they do in the first round of the playoffs?
Well, they swept the Nets, but what did they do against Golden State? I mean, they got punked.
Yeah, they got back to the finals, which is more than they've ever done with Mazzulla.
Fine. Well, they got to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with Mazzulla last year.
Woohoo, they didn't get back to the finals.
Okay, but Mego, if you're going to trash Mazzulla, but you're going to hold
up
deep playoff runs.
I'm not trashing Mazzulla.
You're blaming him for the loss
I'm blaming the players, too. I think it's ridiculous to look at what happened last night and the lack of adjustments, and you keep saying scheme. It's not just about scheme or effort. It's about them not even knowing what to do when a switch doesn't work. Like going to the next level of helping on defense.
Yeah.
Like just, you can
defense,
call that urgency.
Defense is almost all effort and almost all, you know,
when the
want
same,
to.
When the same
and
thing happens like 7 times in one half, that's not just about effort. That's like not recognizing and adjusting.
I think it's kind of going, F it. They're going to miss the next one
you
anyway.
You think that they're sitting on their home floor going like, screw it. We don't care.
Is that not what it looked like last night? It's what it looked like to me.
No, I think that's such a cop-out. And I'm not trying to excuse the players. I just think that both sides, the sidelines and the ones on the court, have to wear it. And I'm not going to sit there and go, these guys are so lazy. No coach can get anything out of them. They're always going to show up acting like they're just expecting to win.
I don't think they're lazy.
I think that that's just ridiculous.
I don't think they're lazy. I think they just looked at it and thought they could beat Miami because they smoked them in game one. And so they throttled back.
I agree with that.
Because I've seen them do that a million times.
I also think that like part of coaching is being able to, at a timeout, go, hey, Bam Adebayo is driving you nuts, Jaylen Brown, by throwing a shoulder and having a moving screen. But guess what? Even when you overcorrect to Tyler Hero, they're shooting it out to somebody else who's draining threes.
Yeah, I just think I've seen this before. They miss shots. They lack effort. And so that carries over to the defensive end. On top of that, they smoked Miami in game one, and they just thought they could show up and they could coast. And I think they threw their hands up and said, Miami will probably miss the next one. They expected.
That's what happened.
Jaylen basically said this after the game, or maybe it was Tatum. I take that back. Maybe it was Tatum.
No, Jaylen was like, I hate my coach.
Yeah, right. Jaylen blamed the coach. Jaylen threw the coach right under the bus.
Spoelstra's awesome. Mazzulla sucks.
Jaylen doesn't want to take any blame for it. It's all about Mazzulla. And so, no, I think it was Tatum after the game who's like, well, yeah, I mean, on the scouting report, these are some of the shots you want them to take. They just think the Heat got lucky. Like, listening to the Celtics last night, they just think the Heat got lucky. They're
like,
they'll miss them next time.
This is a scouting report. Like, they're sitting there talking about matchups, and I'm sure that's how they look at it. Like, oh, my God, what a perfect matchup for Tatum. He's going to kill him. He gets 2 points, and meanwhile, it goes down the other end. They shoot another three. And they're like, well, this will never happen again. And then it happens again.
Yeah, I think that's effort. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's effort. We'll continue with your feedback here, 617-779-7937. Keith takes over again at 6 o'clock. He's here until midnight, I'm being told. Full draft coverage with Hart and Fitzy, along with Chris Schein. Make sure you're tuned in here tonight or on the Odyssey app. Also, is ownership making the pick? Tom Curran has an answer to that. We'll get to it next.
How young? So young.
We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff.
Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over.
On WEEI.
Here's what I know. As of early evening on Monday, there had not been a trade offer that rose to the level of being presented to ownership. Now, as to how it would be presented and whether or not Jonathan Kraft would have immediate veto power and an opinion on whether or not it was a good move football-wise, that wouldn't happen. So there's been no offer presented to ownership because no solid offers have materialized. And secondarily, as with the Bill Belichick era, ownership expects to be looped in on what's going to happen. It's the third overall pick. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, third overall pick, the 15th overall pick, a third rounder. Bill Belichick was looping the Krafts in, and they're going to expect that here. But I do want to emphasize again that Jonathan Kraft is, as far as I can tell, as far as I can have been told, is not involved in football making decisions. He's not scouting. He understands his limitations, as does his dad.
Meh. Not so sure about that one.
His dad understands Jonathan's limitations or his own limitations?
I think the implication was Robert understands his own limitations, but you could read that multiple ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who'd know better than dear old dad?
Fair. I'm assigning blame with this pick to ownership. That is how I am assigning blame. And so I would do that with any team. I don't think it's unique here. The debate becomes, because I firmly believe, and I think Curran just told you, ownership on some levels involved, duh. They have to run trades by him. They got to be looped in. So yeah, duh, ownership's going to be involved. The question is Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, Robin Glazer, are they any more involved than any other organization, or is it just routine ownership meddling, which is going to happen with every... It's happening with Chicago. It's happening with Washington, your Commanders. They brought in all the quarterbacks on the same day so the owner could meet with them and size them up. It's happening with all teams. So is it any worse here? I don't know.
Well, I think it's a metal spectrum. I think it's like you talk about the Commanders. To me, that leans a very, very heavy hand on the picket, too. Like, I would be shocked if it's not basically ownership making the call.
J.J. McCarthy sucking up to Robert Kraft and said he met Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. It's really no different.
I think it's different when you do the buffoonery that they did with their quarterbacks bringing in to Washington on the one day that Josh Harris could be there, and they treat it like the Bachelor night one.
Yeah, but it's still, it's meeting the owner, and the owner's involved, and
yeah,
he's doing it for a reason.
Between meeting the owner, and I don't want to get like in the, I guess if you want to compare, there's a difference between meeting the owner and scheduling every single quarterback's availability that you might take around the one day that the owner can make it.
Sure. At the end of
and
the day.
And then judging them by their golf swing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all still meeting the owner. So you're right. I mean, the weird thing about Washington bringing them in on one day, sure, they're all still
that
meeting the owner.
That shows an incredibly heavy hand. Like, I'm willing to hear.
Okay, Seth Wickersham reported Jonathan Kraft is going to run football ops.
Well, that he wants to. That there were rumors that he wants to. Yeah, I don't know. You have to say something. It's radio, so people can't say just, see the face you're making.
I think
they can hear the face.
I think it's self-evident. I think he's involved, and he wants to. Okay.
Well, you said this is the only thing is that you say it as though Seth Wickersham is reporting from Jonathan Kraft's mouth that he's saying that he's running.
Yeah, Jonathan
operations.
Kraft is afraid to say he's going to meddle, and so he's not going to come out and say it. And so it's never going to come out of his mouth.
Right, but what Wickersham has written now, it seems like a couple of times, is that there were rumors going around that Robin Glazer and Jonathan Kraft wanted to run football operations.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not saying that a rumor can't be true, but it's not that he's sitting there going, yeah, Jonathan Kraft told me.
But he wants to be looped in on everything. And Diana Rossini says he's doing more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her report, for sure.
All right.
And so I look like the way that I'd say it is, I'm sure there's a spectrum of owner involvement. When you get to one of these top three picks and it's about a quarterback, hell yeah, the owner is going to be looped in.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are on the heavy side of that. Just a guess, but that's what I think. You guys can jump in on this. By the way, can I play J.J. McCarthy real quick? Do we have that quick clip? He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday. I thought this was an interesting answer from J.J. McCarthy. Where do you think you're going to wind up, J.J.?
Where are you going? Any idea?
I mean, I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with.
Okay. Now, that does not rule out the Giants could move up and take J.J. McCarthy at 3.
That'd be so silly.
The Patriots could move back. Adam Schefter says maybe the Giants move up for J.J. McCarthy at 3, and maybe the Patriots are moving back and still get their guy. If they do that, I guess I'll have to credit Jonathan Kraft since I think he's the one making the pick. I will have to tip my cap and bend the knee to them if they move down to 6 and still get Drake May. I don't think that's happening. I think they're sticking at 3, which is just fine by me. Don't move around. Don't big brain the thing. Don't Don Sweeney it and screw it up. Don't snip snap it. Stay there and make the pick. If you like him, it's not going to come back to bite you. What was the thing that Brandon Bean said, the GM for the Bills? Like, if the pick doesn't work out, we're all getting fired anyway.
Right.
So what does it matter if I collect an extra third-round pick or a future first-round pick somewhere down the line? Take your guy. Take your guy, and the guy is Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding boring, I do think it's going to go 1-2-3, and then the gates will open at 4 in terms of this draft.
I forgot about this. Wait a minute.
Getting a little intel.
Arcan said in the last break he's got boots-on-the-ground intel. What is this? What are you hearing? I completely forgot about this, Arcan. My apologies.
From a source who I trust.
The Patriots are taking May, and that it sounds definitive from someone who would know firsthand.
Arcan has sources? When did this start?
I have sources.
Arcan's got sources. One more time. What did he say?
Patriots are taking May.
He or she.
Sounds definitive from someone who would know firsthand.
Arcan has sources. He just rarely shares them on air.
I rarely get like good
selfish.
Stuff from my sources.
Very
this
selfish.
Is good stuff here.
Arcan just texted back, thanks, I hate it.
Arcan bomb.
Yeah, Arcan, you do hate it. That's true.
I know. Tell him not to.
Okay. So Arcan, on good authority, Arcan is hearing the pick is Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'd be happy with that. What's your actual pick, Arcan? Me and Mego both want Drake May at 3. What do you think is actually happening? What's actually happening? Do you believe your source there?
I believe my source. What I would want to happen is I'd want him to trade out. Get back to at least 12. That's as far back as I go. But trade back. Get one of those three in the middle there to give you an offer. Go back and get it and build a team. Don't blow it on a quarterback who's not going to have any chance to succeed. That's what I'd do.
And then when they trade back, take Bo Nix. That's Arcan's solution to everything. Super Bowl back on.
Bo knows.
Meanwhile, with the short show, we didn't get to bet roulette here today, but if we did, it would have been brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. You can donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com at 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS.
We're undefeated this week, too.
Say it again?
We're undefeated.
We hit on a full parlay without Jamego, believe it or not.
I mean, I can sit that segment out. I don't need to be a part of that segment.
I mean,
Mego the gambler.
It couldn't hurt. So when it comes to draft coverage tonight, there is nowhere. Trust me. I don't want to hear Bill Belichick say nothing interesting. Keith, Hart, Fitzy, Scheim, right here on WEEI, 6 to midnight, and we'll react to it tomorrow at 2 on WEEI.
That's the pumpkin market. Greatest gift would be I don't know me. This song.
And the card inside would say thank you for being a friend.
6 to 10, more like
6 to midnight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.